This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Micah Parsons, Cowboys linebacker, has a lot to say on his The Edge podcast and had this to say where he's bashing the media of how they treat Dak Prescott.
I just don't condone the bashing of Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys and have the same energy for the Eagles. We want the same energy for everybody because there's a whole bunch of bashing when it's Dak Prescott, but not the same when it's the Eagles. I got time today. A lot of people said the Browns defense was overhyped. I said the Browns are the real deal. Acho said this, which pissed me off. I'm not worried about the 49ers. They were missing Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel. The Browns were missing Deshaun Watson, Nick Chubb. They were missing them key factors before the game even started. So why is it that we are just scrubs and we're nobodies that don't deserve to be on the field and we're just all talk? But there's 100 excuses for these other teams. If y'all just want to hate Cowboys Nation, just say y'all hate Cowboys Nation. I'm tired of people trashing my quarterback. I'm tired of people trashing my team. And that's why I had nothing to say to the media this week. You want to hear me talk? Come to hear me talk on The Edge Monday night. And that's point blank period.
Well, you did have something to say after you got roughed up by the Niners. You were bothered by George Kittle's T-shirt. You didn't do anything against the Niners. And is Micah Parsons new to this process that the Cowboys get a lot of attention? That's why you're so famous, Micah. That's why you're the Defensive Player of the Year leading candidate this year. You play for the Cowboys. And yes, the Cowboys quarterback gets a lot of criticism. Why don't you talk to Tony Romo for a little while? Or even Troy Aikman for a little while. If you win, you get a lot of great attention. When you lose, you get a lot of blame. Let's bring in Lewis Riddick. You can't blame him for anything other than being great. ESPN NFL and college football analyst. What's Micah Parsons doing here?
Yeah, you know, Dan, there's been a little bit of a movement amongst today's players to kind of clap back at the media. Especially when the coverage turns a little bit negative or critical. And look, as a former player, I sometimes understand what they're saying when they feel as though, you know, the criticism crosses a line to where it becomes personal and becomes a little bit over the top. It becomes a little bit more dramatic and not really objective. And I get that because sometimes it does get that way. When it comes to Dallas, of course, you're exactly right. We all talk about Dallas too much because everyone likes to hear about Dallas. And Micah knows on the plus side, he's got people from around the globe talking about him as the next Lawrence Taylor. Yeah. If he was playing for Jacksonville, would they be talking about him the same way as they're talking about him now? And that's not any slight against Jacksonville. No. And when things don't go great for him and his quarterback, of course they get a lot of attention. But you know what? I do get a little bit, though, about how we have to be careful to not swing from one week to the next going, this guy absolutely stinks, didn't put in any work, and didn't, you know, is a guy who's letting his team down, to the next week going, this guy is transcendent. We've never seen anything like it. We got to stop doing that because we know better. meaning all of us as analysts, and that we all know that the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle, and that there's always reasons for swings, right, in terms of player performance. And usually that reason is, here, I'm going to really break something, you know, that nobody's ever heard before on your show.
Yeah, but everybody has hot takes, though, Lewis. That's why. Yeah. That's why it's reactionary. It's week to week. It's, oh, the Cowboys are terrible. They can't win with Dak Prescott. To Dak playing great the other night, to, hey, if he plays like that, defense plays like it just goes along with the territory, unfortunately.
But I just think context then is sometimes something that we need to provide a little bit sometimes. Like, right, so if Dak is throwing a bunch of interceptions, right, if he has 2-3 interceptions in a game, or Mike is not, you know, getting a lot of pressures or hits or hurries, then tell me why. Tell me why isn't it? Was Micah getting double teamed? Were they sliding protections to him all the time? Was he playing with a bad ankle? You know, this takes me back to like my scouting days, man. I remember this so vividly one time. We were in a free agent meeting once, and we were evaluating a linebacker. And our position coach in Washington at the time had crushed this dude. Crushed him. And we were all sitting there going, wait a minute. Like, we all, like, to a man have said, like, this guy's like one of the top players at his position. And he was like, nope, I don't see it. We're going to have to talk about that. I don't see it. I think this guy sucks, blah, blah, blah. And I remember I asked him, I said, what games did you watch? And then he points to like 4 or 5 games. I'm going, do you know that he is coming off of a high ankle sprain, was playing through it, was advised not to play? And he was like, because you mean, so that's why he didn't have the explosiveness and couldn't run. That's the kind of thing I think sometimes, look, if a guy has a bad day, he has a bad day, and everybody's subject to criticism. I'm just saying, I think, let's just take it the next step and go, well, why do you think this guy is stinking this week? What do you think happened? Are the receivers contributing to Dak's interceptions? Could it be protection? Could he be getting hit? All those are the kind of things that I think we need to do just to make sure that we're not just swinging from one end to the other. That's all.
I don't think we have a great team in football this year. Feels like you have probably a 3-tiered system where you may have, you know, 5 or 6 teams that could be up there. Then you have a lot in the middle, and then you have the Panthers and some of those teams, you know, and the Bears at the bottom there. Is that good for football that you don't have a great team?
Yeah, I think it is, because.
Or do you think there is a great team?
Yeah, you know, no, I think there's some really, really good teams. But, we, you know, just to kind of go along with what we were just talking about right now, at this point in the year, none of them have really separated themselves. As we could see, right, San Francisco, just 2 weeks ago, we were saying that this team could just absolutely smack around any team in the NFL anytime that they wanted. They could just roll their helmet out there and they were going to win. Well, Cleveland's saying, hey, have you noticed the kind of points we've allowed through the first quarter of this season? Have you noticed we're on a historical pace?
Yeah.
No, you haven't noticed about it. You know why? Because everybody doesn't talk about, you know, our coaching staff the same way they talk about Kyle Shanahan and how the fact that every time he calls a play, it's like the greatest thing that's ever happened. That's why, you know, you haven't noticed us. So, yeah, I think it's good. This is what the league wants, right? They want games to come down to one score games where anybody can win the game. They want parity, right? That's how the league is set up. And I think this year we're getting it. And we're getting it with some high level performances by a couple different teams that, you know, they're going to be there in the end. The usual suspects are going to be in there in the end. But here's the cool thing about this year. We have some new blood kind of coming into it. And we saw it coming last year, especially with a team like Detroit. We saw this coming, and that is even better.
We're talking to Lewis Riddick of the Mothership. He has a game coming up on Saturday, Mississippi State at Arkansas at noon. You did the Colorado game, or should I say the Stanford game against Colorado. At what point did you realize Deion and Colorado were in trouble against Stanford?
You know, I'll tell you what. In the first half, they hit the kid who wound up becoming a star that night, this wide receiver named Alec Iomanner. He beat Travis Hunter early in the football game on a go route. And he literally dropped it. The ball went right between his hands. Mm. And I'm going, if they can catch some of those, they could make this a game, because they have fantastic perimeter players. What's hurting Stanford right now is that they don't have very good big men. And they lost a lot of people through the transfer portal last year. And they'll fix that. But I said, if they could just do that, I remember talking about this at halftime with Mark Jones and Quinn Kestick. I was like, they could make this interesting. In the second half, as soon as they came out and hit that long, I believe it was like a 90-yard pass play, I think it was Iomanner, and then they come back and hit another one about 60 yards, I'm going, I'm looking at Deion's face in the monitor, and I could see him across the field, and I could just see people getting tight. And I was like, this team is in trouble right now.
Wow.
They're in trouble. And you just saw the momentum going like this from one sideline to the other. And that's when I said on TV, I was like, I hope you didn't go to bed because you're missing a heck of a finish here, man. And it's – Deion's to say the least, he's not happy right now. He's not happy.
Yeah, because he's never gone through something like this as a player, and now as a coach, you only have so much control.
Yeah, and you know what? And I'm not saying he's not happy, you know, with what he's doing or anything. I'm saying he's not happy with the kind of competitive character his team has shown. And you saw that in the comments he had to his team in the locker room after the game, where he said, "Some of you guys are in like with the game, but a lot of you guys aren't in love with the game." And he's going to root that out. I'm just telling you, he's going to root it out. He's going to get guys in there who want to play the way he wants them to play.
Is Deion running a business?
Yeah. Yeah. Deion's one of the brilliant businessmen when it comes to sports business that we've ever seen. There's no question. But what happens, Dan, though, is people think that's all he is, that he's just – everything's just about the dollar and just about the notoriety and the commercials. The guy is an old school at heart, absolutely one of one alpha competitor. I know, I've seen it in person as a player when I was with him in Atlanta, and talking to him now twice and maybe talking to him again here in the near future for another game. He wants to win bad. And he's building it on old school principles, but using new school methodology, which is I'm going to exploit this transfer portal to the utmost because I can. It's the rule and it works.
If Bill Belichick asked you to be his GM,
ooh, that'd be pretty cool.
How challenging would it be, though? Bill has to relinquish that. You're in control of Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
How would that work?
You know what? That'd probably bring back some nightmares for me, quite honestly, man. But I would accept the challenge, that's for sure. Look, he's having been coached by him and Nick at the same time. Look, it's been a long time since I was under that kind of pressure from guys who have the kind of standard that those two have. I'm a different person now. It would be fun. I'd love to do it, quite honestly. If that opportunity ever came up, of course, I'd love to do that kind of thing. I think the question, though, would be for him, though. Like, hey, look, man, we got to work on this kind of thing together. And it's not, you know, as long as he would have the right mindset about it and he could just focus on football, if it ever came to something like that, then of course he's the greatest coach of all time. I don't care what's happened recently with his football team as far as some of the decisions he's made constructing his staff and the team. As far as tactics, scheme, strategy, there's nobody that's been on his level. Nobody. So I think anybody would be better served to go be around him and help him out than to take the position that, no, that wouldn't be a good opportunity. That'd be a great opportunity. It'd be an opportunity of a lifetime.
I just saw where the Eagles have added Julio Jones, and he's had an interesting career. It felt like all he did is produce. Had one of the great catches in Super Bowl history that's forgotten. But he had a 6-year run that was more is he a Hall of Famer? Because I'm looking at his numbers compared to like Megatron, and Julio Jones was a better player for a longer time, had more big years. Or maybe they're both, you know, Hall of Famers. We know Megatron's already in. Julio Jones, Hall of Famer.
No. Yeah, you know what? It's funny. Like, I haven't looked at Julio's numbers in a long time. I do know this, though. For a long, sustained period of time, he was the ultimate weapon, the ultimate producer, even when people knew that they were going to him. Just like everybody else who was in the Hall, that's what their role was at that point in time. I think it's because, you know, sometimes you wish guys like Julio would just have their moments, have their decades-long run, and then just get out and not try and hang on and sign these kind of deals to where you know they're kind of just going to be bit-spot players, and maybe they're not even going to be able to be available because they just can't – they don't have the durability anymore. But, yeah, Julio Jones isn't just only a potential Hall of Fame player. The dude is just top level when you talk to him, and – I know Nick Saban in particular absolutely reveres the dude. He's one of the greats of all time down in Alabama, man.
Yeah, I'm looking at the numbers, and it's because they weren't playing in big games. They played in one big game, and that was the Super Bowl. But he wasn't flashy. He didn't have a nickname like Megatron. He wasn't like Antonio Brown. And, and I think we just sort of, you know, you look at these guys like Anquan Boldt, you know, that these guys played and you weren't, like, you had to find them, or you'd go, man, Andre Johnson, like, you got another 1,500-yard season. Julio Jones was just one of those guys, it felt like. And, I was just curious if – I don't know what he has left, but he's a
Hall of Famer. Julio had the career he had with a different team, right, but the same kind of team success. Julio Jones on the Dallas Cowboys, it's a no-brainer. Julio Jones on the Green Bay Packers, it's a no-brainer.
All right, if I gave you Antonio Brown or Julio Jones for their football, just football.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
You're guaranteed Antonio Brown will show up and play and there won't be any drama like he used to be.
Right. And we're saying, okay, so we're saying like Julio's going to stay healthy. He's not going to have any hamstring issues, all that other
stuff.
All right. Dang. That's I'm taking Julio because I'm taking the bigger, stronger, faster player, the guy who's just more.
Okay, so he would concern you as a former defensive back in the NFL. You'd have more issues with Julio or Antonio Brown. Yeah.
Yeah. Just because, you know, big speed wins, man.
Man, I would take Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I just say big speed, big explosiveness wins more times than not. We're saying that these guys get all, like, if they could play the same number of snaps over the same number of years. Yeah, I think Antonio, when he was at his peak, there were so many. Yeah, he was so tough and so durable and so multidimensional in terms of all the different things he could do. I've always been a big Antonio Brown fan, but I love big speed. I love big, strong fat. I will always take the bigger guy and be more afraid of the bigger guy than the littler guy. And Julio's just standing next to both of them, and I've had a chance to talk to them both post-game in their uniform. Julio's just a freak, man. He really is. He really is.
Lewis Riddick, former Eagles, Washington director of pro personnel. Hopefully you get another chance. Hopefully you get another chance in the front office there. Mississippi State at Arkansas. That'll be on noon Eastern with Mark Jones. Great to talk to you again. Safe travels. Thanks for joining us.
Of course, man. Thanks a lot.
That's Lewis Riddick of the Mothership. It's going to be tough for Bill Belichick. You just don't want somebody in there as a GM who doesn't have the autonomy to be able to say to Bill Belichick, Bill, we're not doing that. That's the way we've always done it. Yeah, we're not doing that. We're not going to take another Rutgers defensive back, okay?
They've worked out, actually. Those have been his best picks.
Then his son went to Rutgers and played there. Maybe that was the pipeline that they had. Hey, nobody's going to go after Rutgers defensive backs. We are. Yeah, Paulie.
Imagine if the Patriots go like the Theo Epstein route and hire like a 31-year-old Yale grad analytics GM to take over and Bill's the coach. Imagine that dynamic of a guy.
Good luck.
Less than half his age.
Good luck. Yeah, that almost seems like that'd be a movie where you have the legendary coach and then you bring in the young whippersnapper and he does it his way, the old fashioned way. And then you got the analytics guy and then you bring in a beautiful woman. Jennifer Garner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bring her in for another football movie. Didn't the Lions take a page out of the script of Draft Day with Kevin Costner where they drafted a linebacker and they drafted a running back way too high?
Yes. That's
what the Lions did, right?
Yeah, Draft Day, they take a running back and a middle linebacker.
If Dan Campbell has a wife who looks like Jennifer Garner, then they really were trying to follow in the footsteps of that movie.
I watched it the other day. It's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah. Well, if Jennifer Garner, like, there's certain people that you just watch, and there's certain actors that you just trust. I was watching a movie. You know what? Let me take a break. I'm going to bring up the trustworthiness of actors that you'll go, all right, I don't know what this is about, but he or she is in it. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win, but that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick. The brilliant EQE SUV from Mercedes-Benz. Available digital light technology. It's so smart, even the headlamps are thinking. The vehicle all electric, the feeling all Mercedes. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQE-SUV. Coming up in a little bit, it was a story that I brought up a while ago, and it was shot down from a lot of experts and analysts, but it's resurfaced. I'll have that for you coming up. He's Justin Tuck. He has two more Super Bowl rings than you do. Former defensive end, third-round pick out of Notre Dame. And now look at him. He is a managing director in private wealth management at Goldman Sachs. Okay. Show off.
What's going on, Dan? How are you?
Great, great. The importance, when you finish your career and decide what you want to do, when did you want to go into wealth management?
I think I always wanted to go into finance. I think, you know, years of playing in the NFL and being in the NFL locker room and watching some of the struggles some of our players had with their own personal wealth, what to do with, et cetera, et cetera. We all know the history of the documentary around Broke and all of that stuff. So I always wanted to be in finance, but I think when I started thinking about where I could have the biggest impact, especially for our players, you know, athletes and entertainers, having more representation in that space, that's what kind of led me to be more on the advisor side in private wealth. So I think it was later in my kind of football career that I actually started thinking about that.
All right, so you go to Notre Dame, get a degree there, And then you have to go back to business school?
Yes.
So you go to Wharton? Do you have to go to classes there?
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Okay.
And plus, it's in Philadelphia, so no one likes me. So it was kind of tough.
Okay, but you're sitting in classes with people and, you know, like just regular students, huh?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the first couple of weeks there are tough because a lot of the professors there that had adopted the identity of being Eagles fans. So I mean, a couple of classes, I just walked in with my Super Bowl rings and put it on their desk and just kind of tried to level set, you know, how this semester was going to go. But it was tough. I mean, it was the toughest thing about it was getting back to getting used to using that side of your brain before. I mean, obviously, I went to a big time school, academic school in Notre Dame, but it had been 12 years since I even, you know, had to deal with the rigors of studying for these tests and being up at, you know, 2 a.m. With these 26-year-old kids who had, you know, had internships at the Goldman Sachs of the world, and they were in prime shape, where I had some getting off from behind the eight ball in a lot of situations in that regard. But, you know, 2 years at Wharton was very, constructive as far as getting me that foundation I needed to go into this financial world.
What do young football players, well, young athletes make? What's the biggest mistake they, or you see a common thread with these kids?
I think, not just athletes in general, but a lot of my clients, luckily they're, very wealthy, so it doesn't really take into consideration. But spending is always the issue. I think when, especially the athletes, when we start making money, most of us come from situations where we haven't had, that type of money, haven't had the experiences with that money. I think a lot of times we're all egomaniacs, right? We all want to compete and have the biggest house or the biggest car or the nicest clothes or go on the best vacations. And we all feel like, because we have this some level of fame, we got to buy private, et cetera, right? So I think the biggest thing is helping guys understand that, I know this is your first time, you're new to making this type of money, but this money does not last long, especially when you think about the fact that, NFL or athletic careers are still so much more short than, that of a professional, right? I was blessed to play 11 years and I retired when I was 32 years old, about to turn 33. There's a lot of life left in that. So, the first thing I think about clients is just like, let's get the right budget for you and your situation and try to spend the right way, I guess.
We're talking to Justin Tuck. He won two Super Bowls with the Giants. Now he works at Goldman Sachs, managing director in private wealth management. What's it like on Monday morning when you go into the office? And I'm going to guess your coworkers want to talk football.
Yeah. Well, lately it's been very tough. Last year was a lot easier. obviously, luckily, it's a lot of Giants fans around my office. And, They know at this point now when I want to talk football and when I don't. But I think early in my career at Goldman, I got a lot of silly and what I would call dumb questions. I know people say there's no such thing as a dumb question. There are some dumb questions.
What would you get asked where you go, that's a dumb question?
Ah, man, you couldn't be on the squad. I mean, I've gotten so many. Like, I've gotten some of my analysts have asked questions like, I don't know, why did Eli choose number 10? Or do you hit a crowd when they're yelling? I'm like, yeah, my ears work pretty well. Like, just silly things. Or like, how does it feel to sack a quarterback? Or, and I'm sure I've gotten some dumber questions than those. I just can't think of any right now. But, I think now I spent the last 6 years educating most of these MIT grads that know nothing about football. I've educated them enough where they're asking some legitimate questions and at least I'm doing my duty as far as like, hopefully I'm building the NFL's brand, one analyst at a time.
Nice.
So,
see, I would I figured somebody would say, "What's it like to hold Tom Brady in your arms?" You know, something. Like
yeah.
How many times did you hit him in those Super Bowls?
Hit? Ooh. I had 4 sacks. And, yeah, I saw a stat, like, it was something crazy. Us as a team that first Super Bowl, I think we on drop-back passes, we actually hit him 70% of the time, or something like that, right? It was unbelievable, the fact that we played that well against such a quality competitor and quality team. But, yeah, I mean, like, everyone asks me questions like, what's your favorite quarterback to sack? And I always tell them all of them taste the same. But I think with Tom – it was such a big moment, so it's gonna feel a little different just because of the Super Bowls. But yeah, we hit him a lot, and I try always when people ask me that question to give a lot of credit to him, because I've seen quarterbacks fold. We those teams we had, the Giants, we had the opportunity to have some really, really great defensive line efforts where we hit quarterbacks a lot, and I've seen quarterbacks in some ways give up. None of that was in Tom. And he fought to the end. I think if you remember the last two throws in those two games, he threw the ball, you know, 65, 70 yards in the air.
Yeah.
After getting pummeled all game. So, you know, I give him a lot of credit. I've seen quarterbacks not want any part of it. And he stayed there to the end. So that's why he's probably going to go down as the best quarterback, if not best football player ever.
I remember Michael Strahan saying a few years ago, that you can sometimes have more respect for somebody with the punishment that you would dole out, and they hung in there. And he said, look, I respected Tom even more because we hit him with everything that we possibly had. And
I'm talking about some big hits, some right up the, you know, in between the one and the two hits that we like to say. And like, you know, I can't give Tom too much credit without giving my personal quarterback a lot of credit too, because that game was very similar to Eli in San Francisco. If you remember, you know, Alden Smith, Justin Smith, that defense that in Candlestick that night that Eli got pummeled. I mean, I remember seeing it looked like it was a cartoon character where, you know, when like like Tom and Jerry or somebody gets steamrolled and like you see their print in the ground. It seems like that because, you know, Candlestick was really soft as well. So like seeing him get like peeled off of the ground after Alden or Justin or whoever else had hit him. That was one of those games where I was like, man, Eli, the dopey Eli, I got a lot of respect for that guy after that game because he got pummeled. And obviously with Tom and those Super Bowls, the same thing.
Wait, you called him dopey Eli?
Yeah, we always call Eli dopey.
Why?
Because he's dopey.
Okay. How did he react?
I'm sure he's gonna have a comeback for that. But yeah, dopey Eli. It's funny because Eli, regardless if he was having a game where he was throwing 4 touchdowns and 400 yards, or he was having a rough game, his facial expression was always kind of the same. So we just called him dopey Eli.
If you could sit down with any person in America to talk finance, to talk business, who would it be?
Finance or business? It's two
okay, let's things. Let's do business.
Business?
Wealth ooh. Management. You're talking wealth management with any person in the world.
That's tough. I'm blessed to have so many great people around me. I think if I was talking wealth management, finance in general, it would be Paul Tudor Jones, a mixture of Paul Tudor Jones, Ken Langone, and I mean Buffett. Those three would be very high on my list. I mean, I would, you know, throw a dart at the board at that point. Business? Woo. That's tough. I mean, honestly, it'll probably be somebody that has constantly like started things and created things.
But like Elon Musk is Elon Musk.
That's what I was thinking. I know he's controversial a little bit, but that's what I was thinking because he's brilliant and he's created things over and over again, right? It's not like, you know, you see a lot of time in business, you see guys who, you know, make a huge splash with one company or one, you know, idea. He's done it over and over again, and I don't see anything stopping him. I mean, like I was just looking at SpaceX and its new valuation of $150 billion, right? It's just, I mean, it's Scrooge McDuck type of numbers with that guy. So, I would pick him up there very high.
Great to talk to you. Glad you're doing well. Thanks for sharing the stories there.
All right, man. Listen, Dan, it's always a pleasure. Appreciate you having me.
What are you benching now?
A lot less than I used to.
All right. But probably the most in the Goldman Sachs office.
You know what? We got some weekday warriors in the if I got challenged and you gave me like 2 weeks, yeah, I would do it. But like I tell people all the time, I used to get paid a lot of money to work out. Now I'm working out because I'm old, so it's different. Like the amount of weight I put on the bar now is so drastically lower than what it used to be. I just wanna be able to say that I worked out. So and in some ways look good in a bathing suit. That's about it.
He's Justin Tuck, won 2 Super Bowls with the Giants and currently the managing director in private wealth management, Goldman Sachs. Thank you, Justin. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hi, this is Jay Glazer, and you may know me from the world of football or fighting or even shows like HBO's Ballers. What you don't know is for my entire life, I have lived in something I refer to as the gray, depression, anxiety. So now I'm coming out with a new podcast, Unbreakable, a mental health podcast with Jay Glazer, where each week, while we talk about mental health, I hope to describe it, give it words. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Final hour on this Wednesday. Man, time flies. Come up with a new poll question. We'll send out the old poll question, bring in a new one here. We'll get to more phone calls as well. We hear from Aaron Rodgers. We'll hear from Tom Brady and Micah Parsons coming up this final hour. Sign up for the newsletter if you're interested in the Tailgate Moonshine. The latest batch will have information in the newsletter coming up next week. So you go to danpatrick.com, enter your email address. You also get a recap of the show every single day, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. At the end of last hour, we were talking about the possibility of Lincoln Riley maybe going to the NFL, joining Caleb Williams as a package deal. Now, this is a story. It's a possibility. And it was brought up at the start of the season. I just speculated. I know he just got there. But if Caleb Williams is going to be the number one overall pick and your goal is to coach in the NFL and you could be coaching your player for the next 5 years on a rookie deal and you have some leverage there, then I would at least entertain that idea. Now, there's a story that apparently Lincoln Riley's camp is putting out feelers of that scenario happening or coaching in the NFL. Don't know any more details. Scott Wolf, who covers USC, he's the one who put that out. And you know what? It's a business move, I guess. I don't know if you could go back to USC and have leverage and say, well, if you don't give me this, I'm going here. It feels like coaches do that almost on a yearly basis or every other year. We're like, I'm going to go. If you don't pay me, I'm going to go to Arkansas. No, I'm going to stay at LSU. Yes, Marvin.
If Lincoln Riley doesn't do well in the NFL, say he's there for 3 years, can he go back to one of those top-tier jobs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd think so. I mean, Spurrier did. But everything is timing the openings you're going to have. But he's already stamped himself as a great offensive-minded head coach. He's got a pretty good track record with those players who have gone to the NFL that he's coached. All right. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. We will get to your phone calls. Good morning if you're watching on Peacock. Astros Rangers Game 3 coming up tonight. Last night, the Phillies rolled the Diamondbacks 10-0. And just so everybody keeps this in mind, it's not an aggregate score where, you know, we're up by 28 runs total. This isn't soccer. You did win in dominating fashion last night. You're up 2-0 in the series. But that atmosphere you have in Philadelphia, that is wonderful. That's a college football atmosphere. You're not taking that with you to Arizona. Seton, poll question for the final hour is going to be what?
Well, why don't I update you, Dan, on hour two?
Okay.
You would most like to see the NFL address grass fields in the stadium or a strong security presence? You have an answer.
Okay, but why do I have to choose? Why can't the owners spend money on both?
Well, that would be my question, is why can't they spend money on both? However, Paul was making us decide between the two.
Mm. Like, which would your priority as a fan? Let's say your owner said, I'm going to spend $40 million, not your money, really, this season on making the all-grass field, player safety, or fan safety. It's basically player safety or fan safety. Which would you prefer?
I don't even know if fans are going to care about either one of those. Like, how many? I brought it up because it just seems like there's this proliferation of videos that are out there of fan violence at football games. I don't know if fans care about it, worried about it, want more security. I don't know, unless your star player gets hurt, I don't know if you care if you're watching on, you know, field turf or natural turf there. I guess you would want your players to be safe. And if you're a Jets fan after seeing what happened to Aaron Rodgers, I mean, there have been a couple players who've gotten hurt and, you know, they point this year and they point towards, you know, this artificial turf. I think if it affects your team, then you would want change there. I don't know if the average fan goes, man, I'm not going to go until we get natural turf for these players. Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah, I don't know if most fans really care that much, but I wonder if that's going to be something that 5 years from now, that Aaron Rodgers' injury is part of the legacy of it, is that, you know, Zach Wilson got to play more football.
The leg.
Legacy. Yeah.
Here's Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show talking about his recovery.
We're kind of way ahead, Pat, and just even saying that. There's just markers. You know, you saw me walk without crutches and throw on the field. Like, that's another marker is going to be jogging, and then another marker is going to be going through a pregame workout probably and getting on the practice field. And all these are going to take time. It's not just going to be, you know, boom, 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 boom. There's critical markers that I have to hit as far as single leg strength and being able to do heel raises and being able to do explosive movements. And these are all progressions that take time. So this is obviously we're ahead of schedule. There's a lot of factors to that. All those things together still doesn't get you back on the field. You have to hit a bunch of different things and be feeling a certain way. But, you know, that's the goal. We'll see what happens. I'm not going to put a timetable on it specifically. That makes absolutely no sense.
He's right. But you're seeing news outlets who are saying, oh, he could be back in a couple of weeks. A few weeks. Major news outlets said a few weeks. No, not a few. I mean, is 12 a few? Three's a few. I don't even know what the time frame is, but a few means probably 3 or 4 weeks, and that's not the case. I mean, this is still a very, very, very serious injury. And if he comes back in 6 months, then that's going to be a huge victory. But, you know, if you're saying he's going to come back in 3 months, I would doubt that because it would be unprecedented to try to be able to pull that off. But Rodgers sounds pretty confident that at least he's on the road to recovery and he's heading down that road a little faster than he probably thought. Tom Brady had some things to say about the NFL and didn't like the... Now, at first, when I heard this, I thought, okay, wait, is Tom talking about maybe getting flag football into the Olympics? Because he did talk about flag football, and I thought, oh, okay, Tom's a big proponent of maybe we get flag football into the LA Olympics. Because the host city gets to pick a few different sports to have at their Olympic Games. Like breakdancing, I think, is in Paris.
Breakdancing's out now. It was in, I think. And it might be out for the future.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I hate to break that.
Dance, break that.
Flag football will be part of the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles.
Now, that's where I thought Tom Brady was talking about, yeah, I'm all for flag football. Well, that's not the case. He was on his Let's Go podcast.
You know, this isn't touch football. This is real football. And I think the physicality, which people really enjoy, I certainly enjoyed. I love that physical element of the sport. I don't think we should ever lose that. And I think that we are, you know, there's so many people that are, you know, want it less and less physical. It's more like flag football, which is going to be in the Olympics in 2028, you know, which maybe football goes to flag football over a period of time. And I don't think fans will like that much. Then everyone should stop about, you know, unnecessary roughness calls.
Okay, but isn't Tom the poster child of protecting quarterbacks? You go back to when he got hit by Bernard Pollard with the Chiefs and protecting, going down low, and he had knee surgery after that. It felt like they were cleaning up what defensive players could do. I mean, Tom's pro-defense now? Like, come on, let him smash the quarterback there. I would just like to see roughing the passer reviewed. I'd just be fair to the defense, you know? Give them one thing for once. Just say to the defense, you know what? We're going to acknowledge the defense. Yes, Eden.
Yeah, it's like he's like one sentence away from being a back in my day guy. Like back in my day, they changed all the rules for me. I mean, we played tougher.
I saw this as well. The new kickoff rule allowing touchbacks from inside the end zone has produced an 80% touchback rate through the first 6 weeks. Rich McKay heads up the competition committee, and he said, nobody in the league would say that's successful. It's what we knew would happen. We achieved the one thing we needed to achieve, which is take the play with a high collision rate and reduce concussions. But we've made it a bit more ceremonial than it should be. League officials still discussing alternatives, including the XFL method. But there are no concrete changes at this stage. The current kickoff rule was approved for one more year. It is ceremonial, but they wanted it to be ceremonial. Hey, here's the kickoff. Used to be you wanted to stay to watch the kickoff. Now, oh, I missed the kickoff. Oh, they're starting at the 25. But, you know, they do have to do something because it just feels like a game starts, but it really doesn't start. It starts when they put it out at the 25-yard line. So that's from the competition committee. Yes, Paulie.
I did have that idea last year that to get people to return kicks, even if they're 4 yards deep in the end zone, kickoff return touchdowns are worth 10 points. Now you incentivize the team to choose. You want to risk your health, it's the choice of the kick returner and the team.
But we're also losing that player or players that when, you know, down through NFL history, like when you say return guys, and somebody always comes to mind, right? Like Devin Hester. He changed games. Eric Metcalf, Dante Hall, Dion, Billy White Shoes Johnson. I mean, there's so many of those. Greg Pruitt. There's so many guys, but we've lost that because we don't allow kicks anymore. And I'm wondering where we get to punt returns because there are collisions on punt returns, and there's nothing they can do about that. Yes, Marv.
Can you imagine if you're a special teams player and you want to make a play, make an impact somehow, because that's the only time you're going to get on the field. And then every time, you know, team scores a touchdown, you go out for a kickoff and it's just, but imagine if you're a kick returner and they say, hey, if it's in the end zone, do not return it.
Yeah.
They must be like fuming because that's their one chance to make a play.
Luciano in Brooklyn joins us. Good morning.
Good morning, Dan. 5'11", Batman soup. With a bit of a dad gut.
Okay.
I've been having a little bit too much of the mudslides at Crappenburg State games. Listen, I have two questions for you. One's a very light question. I'm in a barber shop. I'm a barber, black American and Italian, and I'm hoping you can settle a debate for us. The first one is, if you take away... Both are barbershop debates that we're having daily. So if you take away the teams and you just have 10 years of Tony Romo going to be healthy, 10 years of Eli Manning going to be healthy, who do you take?
I would take Tony Romo.
Thank you. That doesn't go over well in Brooklyn, but I agree with you on that. The second one, this one is, it could be a bit of a landmine in the wrong hands, but I think that you're particularly unique at navigating and landmines and being genuine at the same time. With Deion Sanders, and I'll take this off air, with Deion Sanders, how much of the backlash that he gets do you think actually comes just because he belongs to a particular culture and a particular group of people?
You're saying because he's black?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It does factor in. I mean, it's the elephant in the room, the way he coaches, his style, how he talks. He's a showman. He's a businessman. And, you know, they're going to be people that don't like that. That's the new school. He threatens the old school. And, you know, we hold on for dear life to our old football traditions. Deion has changed the game, literally. He's a businessman. He's changed it. And now it's going to be the pressures on these other coaches around the country. Can you out Deion? Can you get these players? What's the NIL going to be? But still, you can't replace Prime and what he does, what he means. If he goes into your living room and mom and or dad are there, boom. You know, he comes in and starts laying on the charm. And you probably have no shot there. So, yeah, it's an issue. I mean, race is an issue every day. It's there, whether it's right in front of you or it's an undercurrent. There's always something that's attached to it. Yeah, Marv.
Yeah, but I don't want other black head coaches to think they can do what Deion did, because Deion is one of one regarding who he is. He's been famous for about 35 years. So that means your parents know him and your kids know him. And people that don't know football, Deion Sanders, he's a snappy – He you know he does something.
Yeah.
You know he's an athlete of some sort. So,
and he still resonates with kids who are 18 or 19. That's the amazing part of this, that they didn't see him play, but they know him. It's like Shaq. Like, they know him. You know? Allen Iverson. That, hey, you just know who that guy was. And then when you factor in what Deion did and how he did it, look, his personality is not for everybody. But he's not trying to be for everybody. He's just trying to be for his world, his vacuum that he lives in and coaches in. Yes, Marv.
We saw that day one when he became the Colorado head coach.
Yes, yeah.
That Louis luggage was coming.
Yeah, I didn't agree with that. I was critical of Dion when he did that to these kids. They didn't deserve to be, you know, basically fired or told to get out and on video. That you should respect them. They're athletes. They tried. They failed. You don't want them. Let them go. Let them have some dignity there. But everything else, like, they're not as good as everybody thinks they are or should be. They won one game last year. That's why I said they're 1 year ahead of schedule. Now, next year, that's when the expectation should be there. Like, okay, now let's see what you can do. You're going to win 6, 7, 8 games? Going into a new conference there? So there's a lot attached to it. But I think for the most part, now, is he going to be the coach of the year this year? I was asked this by an NFL scout and said, do you think Dion's already the coach of the year? And I said, well, let's say he has a losing record. Did a great job at Colorado. Does that mean you're the leading candidate for coach of the year? And I would say no, not right now. Like, the Air Force Academy is in the top 25. I mean, you could look at that situation. There's a lot of great coaching situations here that people have done some really good, you know, work here. Dion has gotten the most attention. And is he the coach of the year? He might be the businessman of the year. I don't think he's the coach of the year. At least not yet. Yeah, Paulie.
I think Colorado has the weekend off. I think they have a bye week.
Yeah.
I wonder if they would, like, Fox Sports Big Noon Kickoff, put him on the set this weekend. He probably wouldn't do game day. Probably be more loyal to Fox. Right,
I would probably take a break on Dion.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's not a big break guy.
Yeah, but if I'm Fox's Big Noon Kickoff or game day, I'd be like, let me wait and use him at least one more time. Yes, Marv.
Week one will be in Boulder. Next year?
Who will?
Oh, I thought everyone.
Let's go.
Everyone in media is going to be in Boulder.
Really?
Road trip.
Year two?
Yeah. Okay.
I can probably show you guys around if you want.
Yeah. Maybe Dylan.
I think I still got a bar tab somewhere. So.
Yeah. Dylan, part of it. By the way, we're taping the gambling podcast tomorrow. And Shay and Irving, Bad Larry, and Dylan, the graphics guy. Dylan, the graphics guy, who had Stanford moneyline against Colorado.
Wild.
Imagine him in the halftime, though, going,
and we have a surprise guest on the podcast tomorrow calling us collect.
Yes. So good.
From a prison?
I'm just going to say we have a surprise guest tomorrow in the podcast who's calling us collect.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From the versatile EQB to the sublime EQS sedan, Mercedes-Benz makes electric extraordinary. The vehicle's all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. The choice is yours. Learn more. MBUSA.com/EQ.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com. /compatibility.